The well-being of our youth is foundational to the future of our community. Being young can be both challenging and fruitful. It's a time of learning and exploration, even if some of the lessons can be difficult. Today, on About Townshipers, we have a couple of guests who will be discussing the well-being of our youth from two different perspectives, education and mental health. Stick around. This is About Townshipers. My name is Nathaniel Lamont, and you're listening to About Townshipers on CIDI 99.1 FM and CJMQ 88.9 FM. We're the show that puts a spotlight on the people and organizations who matter to English speakers in the Eastern Townships. So today on About Townshipers, we have a wonderful treat for you. I would like to welcome to the show Claudine Roussel from, she is the agent de consultation de liaison at Réussir. And we're going to talk a little bit about an ongoing media campaign that's coming up, which is called Hooked on School Days. Thank you so much for coming to the show, Claudine. Welcome.
Thank you for welcoming me.
It's not your first time on the show, but you're always welcome. It's a great to have you on and great to hear a little bit about what Réussir is got going on, got prepared for improving educational outcomes for students in the region.
Yes, of course. It's always great to come and see you and talk about the different campaigns and studies that we have. So now we're talking about Hooked on School Days because it's February. So every year on the third week of February, so just before spring break and La Semaine de Relâche, so we have the Hooked on School Days, which we refer to in French as les Journées de la Persévérance Scolaire. So it's really like perseverance. So it comes around every year, and it's a time of the year where students, some of our students have the second le bulletin, so they've got their grades, and sometimes it's not always the grades that we would like. Yeah. So there's a little, some of the students have a tough time at this period of the year. And just in general, winter time is hard, but particularly this season. Mm-hmm. So it's cold. The days were short. So it's a time of the year where we know that students from school, middle school and high school, and even in Cégep and university, everyone needs a little word of encouragement. And so we're here to tell all the population, not only school staff and parents, tell the kids around you that you're proud of them and that you see their work, you see their perseverance, and that it's going to get them far.
Yeah. So that's the reason why third week of February, it's about, you know, getting through the winter malaise and letting people know there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's just there.
Absolutely. And the days have started to, like, we saw it. It was a 1 or 2 weeks ago. We've come at the end of the 10 shortest week. So the 10 weeks of the shortest days of the year. So up north where we live, and motivation in general is really like the energy and the motivation is down at this period. So it was really was to answer that. Hmm. And 2 weeks before the spring break. So everyone is tired. Mm. And so we really like we're there to say like, chill out.
Oh, it's perfect timing, right before spring break, right before the end of the high school term. And yes. So what's the theme of Hooked on School Days this year? I saw that it's written, you know, perseverance will take you far. This is the theme. And why was it chosen?
Yes. That's exactly it. Well, we're in an era of instant success, and we see like people achieving big things, like trying the first time. And then, so there's really that is going around on mostly through social media. And it was really important for us and for all the different IRC, so all the Réussirs of the Quebec, because there's one in every region. So it was really important to bring the message of it takes efforts and it takes mistakes to learn. And that's perseverance. That's the thing that's going to get you far. So We're building on what we saw last year. So when we're always building on the past year, but we had the posters of the first women league. So it took all these years to have the first women hockey league. So it took all these years to build the first bicycle. It's perseverance and making mistakes and learning from those mistakes. That's really the base of the message that is taken all around the campaign. So through the ads and the posters, and we've got stickers, and so we've got everything like on the website, Hooked on School Days. People were able to order like postcards and stickers and everything with this message, so that they can do activities with the kids and to bring that message that we see them, we're proud of them, and if they keep learning and they keep doing mistakes, they're gonna be able to, it's gonna take them far.
It's such a good message and such an important message. It's a hard one to learn in the era of social media where you see perfection all the time. But, you know, when I used to do gymnastics and other athletics, and I had a coach that told me one day when I was saying, I'm not feeling well today, I don't think I'm going to come in, I'm not going to give my best. And he told me, you know what? Coming in on the days that you're not feeling well, that you're worried that you're not going to do your best, those are the days you get stronger. Those are the days you get better. And the point being, it's that perseverance. It's that you're building that muscle of, okay, I'm going to do it anyways. You know, I'm going to keep at it, and I get the reward later.
Absolutely. And timing this year is perfect. Every 4 years, the Hooked on School Days fall right in the time of the Olympics. And In sports, we see that there's no gold or silver or bronze medal or even going to the Olympics if there is not perseverance. Mm-hmm. And so we see that a lot through the sports right now, but we want to bring the message like in science and in culture and everything. Throughout Quebec, it's since 2004 that we've been bringing the Town School Days, and Estrie is a couple of years after that. But so 2004.
Wow, so 22 years now. It's your 22nd year.
Yes. Throughout Quebec. Yes. It's really great because particularly in Estrie, because it's our people, but we see really great mobilization from like the schools, but the parents and the councils and the municipalities, towns and villages. We've got the health system communities, or the nonprofits, community organization. So everyone, and even the preschool installations. So we've got people from all the sectors that are coming together and bringing that message. We saw that there are over 200 activities that have been registered on our calendar from all these people to say what they are going to do in that week. So throughout the third week of February, so that they can like bring the initiatives and celebrate perseverance. And I have right under my eyes, I have all the things that are going in the English speaking community, particularly. So we've got like things in Richmond region on high. So staff encouragement message, parent encouragement message. There's going to be meditation and art therapy. There's going to be, will you take the challenge? I've got Starville Elementary. There's going to be a career day. ADS, there's going to be a career fair. And in Phelps Helps, there's going to be a chess tournament. So everyone is bringing activities to come together with that same message that perseverance is going to take them far, those kids.
Oh, amazing. There's such a diverse set of activities, but all reinforcing the core message. I love that. Yes. So I heard that there's a little special day within the week. Hooked on School Days, the week of for Hooked on School Days is from the 16th to the 20th, correct?
Yes, it is.
And there's on Thursday.
Yeah. Yes. So it's going to be the Green Thursday. And so we invite everyone to wear green, to decorate in green, to take pictures and to put that on social media. There has to be like a wave of green. And the thing is that because of St. Patrick's Day coming up, there is plenty of green things like in the shop. So if people want to go and grab a little hat or a cravat or something like that. So they can post on social media with the hashtag. It's Persévère because it was based in French. So Persévère 2026. And there's a contest. So we've got prizes for businesses, for employers, and we've got it for schools and for other organizations. So yes, there are prizes to win if people get in the green wave, so of the Green Thursday.
Oh, right on. So what's new about Hooked on School Days this year?
Well, we took the message a little farther. So just as I was saying, last year it took X amount of years to get to the hockey league and the bicycle and everything. So it's really that core message of perseverance is getting as far. We're always building on the mobilization and the messages and the success from the past years. But there's going to be an HSD squad. So we've got people from our team at Réussir and students, the universities, even partners in the community, which are going to be the champions of perseverance. So we're going to go and visit actually some of the activities, the initiatives that were registered in the calendar. So we're going to go and visit them and celebrate them. So we're going to come with prizes and with little things just to make sure that to tell them that we see them, we see what they're doing for our children and for education, and we want to celebrate them.
Wow, it's great. You're going to get on the ground. It's not just a media campaign online, but it's going to be in person. You're going to have a busy week ahead of you, eh?
Oh, yes. We're going to have a busy week. Yeah, so the whole team and even partners from the community. So yeah, that's going to be a really great week to celebrate perseverance.
Amazing. What are your key goals this year for the campaign across Estrie and across Quebec as well?
Well, it's always to reach more people, to make sure to really go in every sector. We have been doing lots of reaching towards the municipalities, so the towns and villages for a couple of years, and they are really answering. It's so great. Like, they've got the flags that they can put up. They've got encouragement messages that they send to the kids. We've got towns that are emitting certificates of perseverance. And so this was a sector that we really wanted to reach, because we're always saying it, but everyone has a role to play in making sure that this message goes across and that everyone takes their part in education, in the success of our kids. And so that's really, that's one sector that we've been really working with. And we see the results. We see the towns and the villages just really encouraging the kids from all Estrie. But it's really great to see that mobilization.
How do you want people to get involved? If people are listening to this, and how would you like people to get involved?
Well, if they've got activities, like if they have anything that they are doing that could be put in on the calendar, like they can go on Hooked on School Days in Estrie and register the activities so that they could win the prizes that are there. And the smallest action that everyone can take is really saying to a young one that is around them that they're proud of them, that they see them, to value their progress, not only the achievements, but all progress. And one thing, the employers, like everyone who's hiring students, so from high school and from Cégep and from university, these employers are really key to provide these messages, just to say, like, I know that your most important job is your studies, and I know that you're making time in your week to come and work with us, and we see you, we see your progress, we're there to support you. So this is really a great opportunity for employers to recognize all the hard work that their student employees are doing. And we should all create more of an environment where mistakes are okay, that mistakes are learning opportunities. As adults, we want to make sure that everything is perfect, and we want to make sure that the kids have success, and that, and it's really like sharing our own mistakes, sharing our path, also sharing the challenges that we had as kids and as teenagers and as students. And now this really can provide such a great message for our kids, because like you were saying, we see perfection in the media and in social media. We do not always see the challenges that got into making this the perfect picture. And so, yeah, normalizing mistakes and challenges and hard work is really, that would be the key message that we would want to for people to make sure to provide. So anyone can take part in that campaign and provide that message to kids around them.
Excellent. Do you feel, when you've done this event before, and do you find yourself brightened up a little bit at this time of the year after doing this wonderful
absolutely
week?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we see the change, like we see the hope, and like if you saw the ribbons, like we've got white and green ribbons. So green for hope, and then white because white encapsulates all the colors. And so it's everyone that needs to come together for that. Yeah, but we see people coming together like with one message. And it's really great that, like I was saying before, every 4 years we're really right in the middle of Olympics, because just like in Olympics, like you've got all the countries competing against each other, but in the end, it's really for the sports. It's like coming together and for the happening of it. So yeah, it's really, it's great for us. And like we see it in the eyes of kids and even the teachers that we visit and the community organizations that we go and visit. Like we see that it really makes a difference. It gives a little puff of hope to get through the rest of the winter and to make sure to go up until the spring break and towards the end of the year. Yeah.
Well, excellent. Excellent. I think it's a great message. It's a great campaign. And thank you so much for coming on the show, Claudine. Just a reminder to everybody that Hooked on School Days is going to be from February 16th to February 20th. And on Thursday, make sure that you get out in green and take photos and post images on social media. Get out your pins with the green and white ribbons and get involved. Get involved in your community. Brighten up somebody else's and your own day. And or your own week, really, and get out there. Really, thanks so much again, Claudine. I hope to have you on again soon.
Yes, well, thank you so much for the invitation. It's always a pleasure, and have a great Hooked on School Days.
Thank you. You too.
I remember every day my mind is all around you. Looking out for my lonely room day after day. Bring it home, baby, make it soon. I give my love to you.
Are you an English speaker looking for information on the services, programs, and activities available to you in Eastern Townships? Well, perhaps you want to stay up to date on the government policies and legislation that affect you, your family, and your community. Well, if so, Townshipers Association can help. You see, we've been supporting the English-speaking community since about 1979. So to learn more about the many different resources in the townships, visit our website, townshipers.org. You can find us on Facebook, and you can discover a whole lineup of videos on our YouTube channel. And of course, you can tune into our weekly episode of About Townshipers on CIDI 99.1 FM on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. And if you're in the CGMQ 88.9 FM broadcasting area, well, you can listen on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. or on Thursdays at 4 p.m. And if there's an organization, a service, or a program you'd like us to talk about on the show, well, just send us an email, ta@townshippers.org. Whether you're a townshipper for life or a townshipper for a day, we're happy you're there, and thanks for listening.
That I won't forget her. I'm afraid that I've been this way too long, too long. But I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget. That I've loved her away from me. I'm afraid that I'll always be alone, alone. Well, I'm sorry for not calling you. It's been so long. I still dream.
Welcome to the show, Maya. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Thanks for taking your time. I really appreciate it. It's so great to have new voices on the show to learn a little bit more about our lovely home, the Townships. For the people who don't know about you, tell people a little bit about yourself and your new position at TA.
Yeah, so I'm currently studying at Bishop's University. I'm studying psychology at the same time as my role here with the Townshippers. And I've always taken a passion for mental health and psychology. I've also been raised right here in the townships in Sherbrooke. So this community does hold a special place in my heart.
Right on. So school and work, part-time work right now?
Yeah, part-time work and part-time school as well, just balancing everything. But I find that it does complement, they do complement each other quite nicely. So finding the balance.
Yeah, it's synergistic, eh? You have a mental health related job and then you're studying about the knowledge of psychology at the same time.
For sure. I think it's really cool to be able to study these concepts and at the same time be able to actually apply what I learn in class, but also apply my life experience and the things that I kind of believe are important in terms of youth mental health. So it's really cool to see it all coming together.
Right on. What attracted you to studying psychology in the first place?
So psychology, I think, is important on a lot of levels. But for me personally, I think that it's so important that we understand ourselves and the way that the human mind works in general, especially these days, you know, following the COVID pandemic. I think that for a lot of people, we're feeling very alone and isolated. And as much as we turn to other solutions to connect, I think that it's important that we remember that we're human beings at the end of the day. And I think that's where mental health and psychology is so important, is learning more about it and prioritizing it.
Hmm. During the pandemic, that was in 2020, were you in high school at that time?
No, I had actually just graduated Champlain College.
Okay,
and yeah. I was beginning university. So I was doing my studies online at the time, which was a little bit challenging, I will say.
Oh, yeah. I was doing my master's at the time and like midway. It's not a nice way to do your studies, eh?
Oh, wow. On the master's level, I can't imagine how like challenging that would be.
Honestly, I think it's probably worse earlier on because you do a lot of independent work. But you're not doing that many classes. It's a lot of doing your own project. But yeah, it's, I can imagine. So would you say that this kind of period of isolation and reflection impacted your pathway, what you ended up being interested in? I mean, the pandemic as far as isolation.
Oh, I would definitely say that the pandemic had an important role. I think that for a lot of us, it gave us a lot of useful time for reflection, but it was also a really intense time of isolation that I think a lot of us really struggled with. For me, you know, I went from being able to see my friends every day and going to work and school to suddenly my whole world was much smaller and you know, involved a lot less people in it. And I think that took a toll, especially on young people. And I'll say it openly, you know, it was a challenging time for myself included. I think that being isolated and being kind of having some of those key developmental times where I wasn't in touch with other people my age as much, and I was kind of more isolated just like everybody else. I think that it changed my perspective on things for sure.
Yeah. Even the inability to go like to a cafe or something to work or be around people and like in your bedroom all day.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like I said, I think in-person connection and in-person conversations is really unparalleled and it's really hard to replace.
You've been at this role for a short time now, but in the time that you've been here, what kinds of things are you hearing from youth that you've spoken to or from parents or from educators as far as the challenges that youth are facing?
Well, I feel like these days, especially in the townships and on a broader level too, youth mental health is kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, I'm noticing that there is a lot more awareness about it. People are starting to, you know, it's kind of more integrated into our vocabulary. We have more access to knowledge about it. But at the same time, there seems to be a lot more stigma that seems to be rising, especially in today's political climate. So it's sort of a double-edged sword where although we do have more awareness about, you know, mental health, there seems to be this stigma that is rising where it's hard for people to open up and seek help and talk about their feelings.
What kind of stigma? You mean stigma about talking about their own mental health?
I think when I'm referring to stigma, like, I really think that it's about, you know, a lot of youth are experiencing homophobia and other forms of discrimination, And I think that in some ways, people are, as a society, we're becoming a little bit less tolerant. And that's really unfortunate because I think that that discourages a lot of people from opening up and being vulnerable. And people are more isolated.
Are there places for example, like LGBTQ plus youth to get together? Have you noticed that, like to get together and to talk about these kinds of challenges that they have here in the townships?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm currently working with some high school students that are part of a gay straight alliance club. So this is a safe space for them within the school that's really fruitful for them to be able to be open and talk about some of the struggles that they're experiencing and identify with the things that they do have in common. So just knowing that there's a space like this available for students is really cool.
So this ongoing challenge with homophobia, is this something that you have noticed that students are talking about in at school that they're facing this, or is this online, or is this a number of different venues?
Absolutely. I think there's definitely a few different venues. In person is definitely a challenge for a lot of students. I think, you know, this ties back again to being shifting towards a world that's more online. I think that because a lot of our interactions now are more online, they're less in person, we begin to lose that feeling of empathy for others and compassion. You start to forget that there's another human being in front of you. And I think that, you know, along with, like I said, some of the political changes that are happening right now, a lot of the students have voiced to me that, you know, they're experiencing homophobia and discrimination. Verbally, other students will approach and say things that are harmful. And it's something that, you know, that's why safe spaces like the GSA are so important.
It's a hard time, right? Being a teenager, everybody's trying to figure out about their own identity at a time, and they're insecure and kind of voice that insecurity sometimes through aggression as well.
For sure. I think that's one of the hardest parts is that, you know, when you're young and you're trying to learn about yourself and discover the world and who you are within that, where you fit in, it's really hard to be confronted with that, you know, with that kind of prejudice and discrimination. And that can come in a lot of different forms. Another way that, you know, I think that social media and the sort of climate is affecting, the political climate is having an impact on youth mental health is that we're becoming more and more polarized as human beings. I think that, you know, many views are being pushed to their extremes and people are identifying with each other less and less.
You mentioned human rights and the kind of relationship between that and mental health. Is it more of a focus for you just see the needs, the people who are reaching out, the people who are hurting, and the people who are in need of help?
Yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, it's hard to talk about youth mental health these days without talking about where society is headed. But specifically, I think that people are looking for ways to find support. And it can be intimidating to ask for help, I think. That's why it's so important to focus on mental health.
Yeah, it's, you know, there are some organizations that offer help to youth, but it is, do you think that there's a bit of a challenge for youth to know about these organizations and know about their services?
Definitely. I think that it can be hard to, even if there are services available, it can be hard to know where to access them just because we're inundated with so many ads and so many different things online, for example, I think. So yeah, it can be really tough to know how to begin seeking help and where to access those services.
Is that part of your mission or goal in your position as youth mental health coordinator to connect youth with some of these resources?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. A big part of this role and this initiative is really about bridging those gaps between the services that are available or the ones that aren't yet available and the youth. So really, you know, facilitating youth access to mental health.
I hear you've launched a project already to get youth engaged in some a little bit of a creative project. Could you tell us a little bit about your mural project?
Yes, for sure. So the mural project has been really fun so far. We actually just had our very first meeting last week. So the mural project, I'm working with this school to basically, along with their Gay Straight Alliance Club, their GSA, we're working to design a mural to kind of represent the LGBT community within the school. It's super exciting. So I'm working alongside a muralist as well. And this is actually an initiative that was brought forward by the students themselves. So they're really excited.
Right on. Are the students going to be involved in any way in the design of the mural?
Yes. So the entire design and conception of the mural is entirely coming from the students. The muralist is really just there to help them bring their ideas together, bring the design together. So it all comes together on the mural. But yeah, all of the designs are coming from the students themselves.
Amazing. Is the mural going to be on campus?
Yeah, the mural is going to be put up within the school.
Amazing. That sounds great. You're already getting in there and making a change in the community. Do you have an idea of what your timeline of when you're hoping to get some paint on the wall?
Yeah. So we're looking to paint to have the mural painted within March or April. So the students are going to get together once the designs have been put together and make it come to life.
So are these challenges of on the topic of homophobia, for example, is this something that there's like open dialogue among youth about, do you think? Or do you think it's something that gets kind of hidden because people are around shame or around fear of reprisal?
I think that there are people having those conversations, but at the same time, I think there is a certain level of fear. A lot of the time, people are going to fear speaking up or asking questions about something that they don't necessarily understand.
You're from here in the townships. What do you think is different about living in the Eastern Townships, about living maybe in a more rural setting for youth? Do you think that is there any sort of added challenges versus, say, living in Montreal?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's definitely a different experience living in a more rural setting. I think it's different because, you know, in Montreal, there could be a lot more resources that are available to you just because there's more population density. But at the same time, I think there's a few special things about growing up in a more rural area. You know, a lot of the people that you see at the grocery store and things like that. There's a stronger sense of community. And I think that just being so close to nature within the Eastern Townships is a really nice thing.
Yeah, the proximity to nature is wonderful. Is transportation a bit of a challenge for isolation, though, here?
Absolutely. Transportation is a huge problem, I would say, especially once youth graduate high school. If they're not continuing to college or university, a lot of the time there isn't really a way for them to have transportation if they don't have a car, especially for anybody within the townships that's outside of Sherbrooke or any of the larger towns. It can be really isolating.
Yeah. There's like a few shuttles that are kind of like direct between bigger towns and Sherbrooke, but that's about it, eh?
For sure. Yeah. I think, especially over the weekends, it's kind of hard to get around, I would say.
Oh yeah. Because I live in the MRC Coaticook and there's a bus that goes through Coaticook and goes to Compton, Waterville, and Lennoxville, and then Sherbrooke. But it doesn't run on the weekend. It's just a commuter bus, right?
Yeah, no. Actually, for a few years, I didn't have a car, and I was just taking the bus. And it's kind of incredible how much your horizons expand when you do have a car here. You realize how much you're limited by the transportation system. But, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a built-in struggle, eh? Like with living in a rural setting. But It's part of it. There's a bit of, there's always a plus and always the minus and to every location.
For sure. Yeah. And I think also what's tough regarding mental health in more rural settings is that a lot of the time people might not necessarily have access to the resources or the information about some of the things that they're going through. A lot of the time, because of that, again, it can be pretty intimidating to ask for help or to even know where to go. So I think that's some challenges that are unique to rural areas, especially the more that I'm meeting with organizations and learning more about what's available here in the townships and looking elsewhere as well. I'm noticing that youth in rural communities, unfortunately, have access to less resources.
If you could change kind of one thing or improve one thing about youth mental health in this region, what would you change?
One thing that I would change is having more communal spaces for youth to gather. I think that that's something that actually in a lot of the observations that have been made, a lot of people are realizing with the feedback that we've gotten from youth that, hey, we'd really love to be able to meet each other in person and go out and connect with people, but we don't know how. So I think that's something that I would really love to see incorporated more, is just communal spaces where people can get together and share and bond and relate to things. I think that would be really cool to see.
We kind of talked a little bit about the challenges or the difficulties of mental health growing up in the digital era. And, you know, there's the added difficulties of bullying. And I think everybody is, I don't know if everybody's aware of it, but a lot of youth, I think, are aware of the added challenges of pressures of to look a certain way and to act a certain way online. I'm wondering if there's anything like one that worries you about the online culture, but also one thing that you're optimistic about, or that you're like excited about, or that you see as a positive in the digital world?
Yeah, for sure. So I think one thing that does concern me a little bit is that I think that I kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, but I think that people are sort of losing touch of compassion for each other. I think that a lot of the time when we're communicating over text or online, we kind of forget that we are talking to another human being. So I think that's something that does get lost in translation. And the more that an individual spends time socializing over text or scrolling online instead of seeing people in person, the stronger that effect will be. So I think that that's something that's quite concerning. On the other hand, though, I think what's cool about growing up in the digital age is that people do have access to seeing what else it could be like. You know, I think that if you are alone and you are struggling, there are ways to find like-minded communities online. There are ways to learn more about it if you know how to look in a safe way. So I think that's something really cool about just the digital world in general. And also that, you know, Even if we're not able to meet in person for whatever reason, it's a really cool way to still connect with people and, you know, and bond with each other.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's true. Like when you're in high school, your world, I mean, at least from when I remember mine, it's much smaller than when you're an adult. You know, you're kind of stuck with the people that you ended up with by a certain degree chance, right? Like you have your class and people only hang out with whatever people within a certain age range of them, like maybe a couple years older, a couple years younger. But the internet gives you access at least to this, maybe a shared community. If you're looking for somebody with shared values that you can't find in at your school.
For sure. Absolutely. And it can also give you an idea of, you know, especially if you're looking for your identity and who you are and what things that you like, you know, the online world has a lot of like different interpretations and perspectives on life. So you can kind of, you can look into what you're interested in and learn from it.
Yeah. Yeah. You do have a good point about the kind of lack of empathy. Like, why do you think that is? Why do you think that there's a challenge for people to have empathy for each other online?
I think that a big part of the reason that there's a challenge for that is because a lot of the like social media algorithms, they're really trained to continue delivering information that we agree with. If we're always consuming information that we agree with, well, when we're confronted with someone that doesn't necessarily share our same views, that can be more jarring to us than it might normally be. So I think that's a big part of the reason why people are much more sensitive to disagreements. I think that's feeding into having less compassion for each other.
That's a good point. I think you could even take that a bit further and say that the content is not only is it just what you agree with, it's totally focused on you and your interests and your, it's not even just like political agreements, but it's like, it seems like it, if you get lost in it a bit, it's like the algorithms are designed to make you think from your perspective, but not from other people's perspectives, because it's constantly feeding you back. It's like this feedback loop of like information that you are interested in, that you find exciting or whatever. But that makes us turn inwards rather than outwards, no?
Totally, 100%. And I think it makes us have a much different perspective on nuance as well. Because even though on a conscious level, I could go on my phone and scroll and I know, okay, I'm on my phone. This isn't real life. It's not the same thing. On a subconscious level, our brain doesn't always interpret it the same way. And over time, you know, you're going to start seeing that as reality. And this is how people are. And it's hard to decipher that sometimes, especially for younger individuals where they've spent longer exposed to that.
Yeah. How do you think that digital forms of communication impact like real life communication for youth?
Yeah. So this is actually, I'm working on another project actually to work on basically bullying awareness and bystander intervention. So I'll circle back to that. But basically, I think that the main way that it's affecting in-person communications is that people are becoming more polarized in their beliefs. So if I were to encounter somebody that doesn't share the same beliefs as me, I'm much more likely to react strongly to that, to be sensitive to that. I might not necessarily be open to what they have to say or the nuance that they have to offer. I might be really set in my beliefs in the way I see things. And that just closes down a lot of doors for communication.
Hmm. Have you experienced that school, like in university or like in class, say, if you have a disagreement with another student?
I think definitely I'm noticing that there's somewhat of a divide. I find like I'm not immune to it either. A lot of the people that I surround myself with share the same views. I think that's just how human beings tend to be. But at the same time, sometimes on campus, you know, I'll hear people saying things and it's quite baffling to me sometimes. And I'm realizing that even for myself, I have a lower threshold or less tolerance for views that aren't the same as mine. And I try to be aware of that. And I try to check my biases and know that, hey, I'm a totally subjective experience here. This is by no means a universal experience. And even though I keep that in mind, I know that I'm still going to be biased. I'm still going to have a skewed perspective that's really my own and nobody else's. And even though I try to be conscious of that, I think that, you know, I'm still subject to it just like everybody else. And I think we should try to be more aware that we're biased and have those difficult conversations, even though it's uncomfortable sometimes.
Yeah. It's rare to see venues where people can come together who have differing opinions on things, but where they can come together, but not debate in the sense of the kind of the things that you see on social media of like, you know, people who go on college campuses and, you know, disagree, like, you know, I disagree with you, or, you know, there's plenty of people who do that on the left as well. It's so rare and I miss it so much. The two people who are intelligent and coherent about their beliefs, who can actually concede points sometimes, you know, say, oh, okay, you know, I see your point. I see your position on this. And like, I think that you're right. That is something that is being, that's lost when you have excessive polarization, this middle ground where you can communicate.
Totally. I totally agree with you. Admitting that we're wrong is so, so important. Even if we look like on a broader scale at collective intelligence, which I think is one of the things that propelled humans forward and brought on a lot of advancement, collective intelligence and individual intelligence relies on admitting when we're wrong. It's a learning process. You know, I really hope that I change my views and learn about things more in depth within the next year, within the next 5 years. I really hope that I find out I'm wrong about things and that I have the ability to recognize it and to be okay with it. I think that's a really good point, is people are less open to concession and people are less open to realizing that, hey, that's a nuance I hadn't considered, and learning from each other. I think, you know, whether we call it learning from each other or admitting that we're wrong sometimes, I think that those are two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm. It takes a certain wisdom and it takes time to learn to do that, because we get emotional sometimes when we are faced with a viewpoint that we disagree with.
Absolutely. Even for myself, I can sit here and talk about it on a theoretical standpoint and say, oh, well, you know, this is important because, but in reality and practice, it's something that we have to consistently be intentional with and consistently remind ourselves that, you know, we're going to have differing views, and that's an okay thing. In fact, it's important.
I'm wondering what gives you hope about the future of youth and their mental health.
You know what? I have to say what gives me the most hope is the conversations that I have with people. I find that so much of the time, you know, this notion that we're going through times where it's a little bit tough politically, but when I talk to people individually, I can really tell you that there's a passion there, and young people are wanting to see positive change. Young people have energy. We have a strong work ethic. We want to make things happen, and we're just developing the tools to do that. So I think that's what's really giving me hope is, you know, my peers in university, the youth that I'm supporting through the Youth Mental Health Initiative, my colleagues here at Townshipers Association, just seeing people, not just youth, but people of all ages that are passionate, intelligent, have really good intentions, and are doing something about it. I think that that's something that it's easy to lose sight of, but it's something that's making me very optimistic and giving me hope, is realizing that there are some really keen and smart folks out there.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the differences between like doom scrolling about all the awful things going on in the world and like getting involved in your community. And like to know the people in your community and getting engaged, you start to see, oh, there's all these stories that aren't on the news, that aren't on my feed. You know, there's all these people that are super passionate and really care about their neighbors, about their community.
Totally. I totally agree with that. And, you know, a lot of the time it can be hard, because we think that positive change and making a difference is on a large scale, because we're constantly exposed to numbers and statistics and these massive things that are hard to make sense of. But really, making a change can be on a really simple and small level, and it's never too late to start. I think that, you know, it could just be a matter of having those discussions and sitting through the uncomfortable ones too, and building off of each other. You know, I think that's something that you shouldn't be shy to do.
Right on. Glad to hear that. We're coming to the end here, but I would like, before we leave, to ask you a question completely not about youth mental health. I'm wondering, so you grew up here in the townships. What's one place that you want to shout out? It could be a restaurant, it could be a park, anywhere that you love, absolutely love in the townships, and that you want to other people to know about.
One place that I love in the townships, I have to say the Johnville Bog.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Johnville Bog. I love hiking there any time of year. It's just, it's a place that I go for serenity and to kind of like gather my thoughts. It's a really peaceful place. Have you been before?
No, I haven't been to the Johnville Bog.
It's really beautiful. It's an like a protected area, and it actually has marshes, and it's really unique. It's a really unique ecosystem that you don't really get to see anywhere else. And at different times of years, there are different plants that are blooming, different animals, and I really love that place. So that's where I'm going to shout out.
Right on. I'm very happy I asked you that question. I ask it every once in a while, and every once in a while I learn something new because I'm relatively new to the townships, and I will definitely go check out the Johnville Bog because I love birds, and I'm guessing there would be a lot of great birds in the area.
Oh yeah, lots of great birds and lots of cool plants, like so many different colors of moss as well. Let me know if ever you go. I think it's really fun.
Right on. Well, thanks so much, Maya. Yeah, I really appreciate you coming onto the show, and I hope to have you back in, 6 months and see what's new, see what's changed, and see how your development as the youth mental health coordinator is progressing.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here. It was fun chatting, and I look forward to chatting again. Thank you.
You've been listening to About Townshippers. Episodes are broadcast on CIDI 99.1 FM on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and again on Thursdays at 1 p.m. Episodes are also broadcast on CJMQ 88.9 FM Tuesdays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 4 p.m. Find us in the podcast and program section of CIDI 99.1 FM's website. A shout out to Yvonne Grandin, our show's technician and editor. We're so lucky to have him. In fact, if you like classic rock, check out his show, The Ivan Hour, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 p.m. on CIDI 99.1 FM. My name's Nathaniel Lamont, and this has been About Townshippers. Take care.